Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting for the month of December. This year just disappeared. But it's just been a privilege and an honor to share these wilderness truths from modern times. And we're going to look at number 28. But before I go, I would just like to share some. I was looking at the numbers. And so far this year, we've had over 142,000 hits on our website, which is about a 23,000 increase from last year. And it's just amazing how people are listening. And so I appreciate people listening, and I appreciate all the emails and the comments and the good ones and the not so good ones and all of them. And it's just wonderful. And so keep listening, and I know in 2016 the Lord is going to do some mighty things. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. Usually I have 3 points from last week, but this time I have 5 points. And so there's 5 quick points that we're going to go ahead and look at to get our hearts moving into what the Lord would have for us tonight. And before I do that, we need to, kind of see where we are here. And we are in the wilderness of Sinai. And last month we looked at that God brought the children of Israel to the wilderness of Sinai so he could meet with them. But they didn't understand the smoke and the lightning and all of this stuff. And so the people were scared. And they said, Moses, you go talk to God. And so that's where we are kind of like right now with the children of Israel and Moses. Amen. So the first point I'd like to look at, and it kind of just segues into that, is God has a purpose and a place and a time for all of us to meet him. God has a purpose, he's got a place, and he's got a time for all of us to meet him. And that is in salvation, and then as we grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bring us to a certain place spiritually in us, and there will be a time in us so that he can reveal his purpose to us. So God has a purpose and a place and a time for all of us to meet him. And that's in salvation. Of course, that's the first meeting. But there's other times and places and purposes God will have us, will give us as we meet him. Amen. And the second one is all we need is a desire to hear God so that we can obey him. Amen. All we need is a desire in us. A desire in us so that we can hear him and so we can obey him. That's it. All it is just a desire. Most people do not have a desire to, to hear from God. They have a desire to hear from everything else, TV, the news, the paper, whatever, but there's not much of a desire to hear from God. Amen. And that third point is the order is hearing first, then understanding. And we looked at that kind of in detail. It is hearing first, then understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that is not listening to the Bible, or listening to the teaching page, or whatever. But that hearing is hearing from God. In the Greek, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. Because once we get hearing, once we hear from God, then we will have that understanding in our life, and that is key. Amen. And the fourth is desiring is the basis for revelation. Wow, that is a tremendous thought. But that desire that we have to hear from God, that is the basis. That is the foundation for revelation. So if we have no desire to hear from God, then there will be no foundation for revelation in our life. Because it is our desire, that is the qualification, that is the criteria for hearing from God, in the basis for revelation and the enlightenment. And the last point, and this is a critical point, and we looked at this kind of in detail, last month, and as much as we desire what God desires, to that extent, God will bring us into himself. I'm going to slow down and I'm going to say that again. Amen. As much as we desire what God desires, to that extent, God will bring us into himself. So if we love the things that God loves, then God will bring us to himself. If we want the things that God wants, if we have a heart for, you know, God's people and just, you know, whatever there, if there's a desire in us for what God desires, then God is able to bring us to Himself. If that desire is not there, if we're not after the things that God is after, then it will be impossible. God will not bring us to Himself. He will not reveal His nature and His character. God will go ahead and just reveal not His love and His grace and all of that, you know, to us. He'll be able to only reveal maybe His judgment and His wrath, which is all still a part of God's love. Amen? Because God's love for those who love God is His love and His grace and His mercy. But still a part of God's love for those that do not love God, God's love will be the judgment and punishment and even separation in some cases. Amen. Now let's go ahead and look at what are this truth, modern times, number 28. The very, very famous verse, Exodus 33:18, and it said, "And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." That word beseech is an interesting word. That word beseech is often translated prayer. And it's not a prayer where, you know, when we pray as we're thinking about prayer, but it's just a quick address. It's just a quick address to God. It's just, you know, just a quick prayer. Not praying, but, you know, like, I pray, Lord, or I pray thee, or whatever. It's just a beseeching. And so here Moses was talking to the Lord and said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And of course, we know as the story goes on, God could not show Moses His glory, but He did show him His goodness, and He showed him His hind part as he walked by. And I think it's in the 21st verse, God said, come stand by me. Yeah, and He made a place in the cleft of a rock for him. Boy, what a powerful time it was for Moses. Amen. But tonight what we'd like to talk about is communication. Communication, not communion. Now, communication happens before communion. If there's no communication with God, then there can never, ever be a communion with God. And so here, God brought the children of Israel and Moses up to the mountain so that He could have communication with them, so that He can ultimately have communion with them. Communication is speaking to God. We often call that prayer and stuff like that. But communion is heart to heart, to where our heart goes to God. Amen. And if our desire can focus upon the Lord, communication with Him will be open. Let me say that again. If our desire can focus upon the Lord, then communication with Him will be open. And we have evidence of that movement in Moses' early life. There must have been communication from God to Moses when he was young, for he was aware that God wanted him to deliver his brothers from Egyptian bondage. And you can look at that in Acts 7:23-29. Amen. But communication is very, very important with the Lord. Everything that we get and do in God is out from our desires. I can't stress that point enough. Our desires must be after the Lord. David said, one thing I desire. One thing I desire, you know, is that I may know you. Wow, what a powerful statement. Again, at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, we see a marvelous method of communication from God to Moses. At Mount Sinai, God called Moses to Himself for the purpose of a very lengthy communication. And Moses ascended. In Exodus 24:16, this verse really is exploring me as I'm preparing this. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. Now notice, 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So that tells me that Moses was standing before God for 7 days. 6 days he stood before God and probably was just standing there, not saying anything, because there was no communication. Communication is two ways. Moses was just standing there in the cloud waiting for God to speak to him. And then on the seventh day, wow, God spoke to him. Can you imagine that? Moses, and I don't know if he slept or if he ate or whatever, but Moses stood there for 6 days waiting for God to speak. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes if we pray for 10 or 15 minutes, we've done God a great favor. But can you imagine waiting for 6 days?
Maybe day and night,
not even saying anything or doing anything, just waiting silently before the Lord. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Anyway, this attempted communication lasted 34 days, probably without interruption, day and night. Can you imagine standing before God, hearing from God for 34 straight days? Since Moses did not eat or drink during this time, and we see that in Deuteronomy 9 and 9. And I believe Moses did not sleep during this time, because it would be hard to sleep when God is that close. It would be very difficult, very, very difficult to sleep and eat and all that when we are in the presence of God. God called Moses and led him to the wilderness of Sinai upon two different occasions to communicate with him. Because Sinai is the place where God can communicate with man. He also calls us to this mountain to communicate. All throughout the book of Exodus and other places, God is always calling us to come up where He is. God is always calling us to come up. In Exodus 24:12, the call was to Moses was to come up and be where I am, to stand by me. What a wonderful, wonderful call. And that is the same call that God has for us. He's asking for us to come up, for us to stop what we're doing and come up. But often we are too busy to take time for God. And so if we are too busy to take time for God, guess what? God may be too busy to take time for us. Because God is to us what we are to God. If we spend time with God, if we have a desire to spend time with God, then God will spend time with us. But if we have no desire to spend time with God, well, then God's not going to spend time with us. It's always amazing. God's intention is always toward man. What He wants to give man is always out there. But whether we receive from God's hand or not does not depend upon God. It depends upon us. Everything we get from God depends upon our hunger and our desires that we have from God. And then when we don't get it, then we blame God. Well, you know, it's our hunger and our desires that moves God's heart. Amen? Amen. God may call us to the wilderness to meet with Him also. And we know the wilderness is a wonderful place. It's not a stark and barren place, but it's a place of life. It's a place of instruction. It's a place of teaching. It's a place where we can come and learn who God is and meet with Him and Him meet with us. Communication always follows the meeting. Let me say that again. Communication always follows the meeting. Suppose we fail to meet with God due to fear or some other personal reason, like the children of Israel did, as we looked at last month. They did not understand the smoke, and they did not understand the fire and the clouds, and they did not understand how God was moving, and so they never had that opportunity to meet with God. Communication with God intends does not always occur. He stands at the door and knocks. And the Bible says, if any man hear his voice, he will come, he will open the door, and they will sup with him. But often many people are too busy and they don't hear that knocking. Amen. He stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hears and opens, extensive communication can follow. Do we believe Him enough to open the door and to go to the wilderness to meet with Him? I would think so. Amen. The order is the call to separate. Amen. The order is always the call to separate ourselves unto Him. Then we can have communication with Him. If we do not separate ourselves from Him, if we do not separate ourselves unto Him, I should say, if we do not separate ourselves from our spouses and our mates and living in the world and all of these things and just stealing away and spending time with Him, then there'll never ever be communication. And if there's no communication, and we will see in a couple minutes, then God will not be able to give us the things that He wants to give us. So the order is always a call to separate. God said to Moses, come up to the mountain. Anytime God calls us, and this is very, very important, anytime God calls us, there's going to be a separation. When I go overseas, and God calls me to go overseas, there's always a separation. A separation from my wife, a separation from the things that I do here in Eastern North Carolina. whatever that is. There's always a separation. And anytime God calls us, this is a spiritual, divine principle. Anytime God calls us to do something, there's always a separation. Amen? Yeah. Communication then is established, and a messenger is born. Communication is established, and a messenger is born. The messenger becomes God's mouthpiece to those who have not met with him yet. That is the job of the messenger, is to be God's mouthpiece. Now that is quite an honor, to be God's mouthpiece. And I will promise you that God will not allow someone to speak for him unless God can deal and work in their life. God will not allow someone to speak for him. Oh, you may be a preacher of a church, and you may have a big ministry, and do all of these things, but you'll never ever be the mouthpiece of God. Moses was the mouthpiece of God, and Moses went through hell. And it was a very, very difficult time, but when Moses finally, he was raised in the court of Pharaoh, he was educated, he was a mighty warrior, he did all these things, but when God finished with him, taking care of the sheep in the backside of the desert of Jethro's sheep, Moses stuttered and he could not speak. God emptied Moses of the world and all of those things so that he can be God's mouthpiece. If you desire to be God's mouthpiece, God will have to empty you also. God will have to empty you down to where it is only you and just the communication with God. Unless we answer the call and have communication and to get the message from God, we will never ever be the messenger. So to get the message from God, we must answer that call, and there's going to be a time of separation. And when we separate, then there will be that communication, and that's what Moses did. And then we can be the messenger. We must hear from him to speak from, speak for God. So many people today are speaking, and they say they're speaking for God, but they haven't heard from him. There's the difference between a sermon and a message. And a lot of denominational churches, they say, I'm going to preach a sermon. And the last thing that the church of today needs in the world is another sermon. What they need is a message. They need to be the messenger. And they need for God to be able to speak to their, to the servant, the messenger, and get a message from God. God speaks to that preacher or that teacher or whatever. Gets from him, and then he gives that to the people. A sermon is just a collection of good ideas and fables and stories and so forth and so on. But a message is something that is inspired from God. It is something that God wants the people to know through that servant. Amen. John 5:19-20 says, then answer Jesus unto them, verily, verily. Now, anytime you see that verily, verily in the Bible, at the very special time, there's some very, very special words, like in John 12:24, when it said, verily, verily, and that's a corn of wheat fall into the ground. So there's about four or five verily, verily, and what that is, it's not a double negative. I'll think about it in a second, but if you're Australian, you would go, fair dinkum. And I did that for Brother Dine, who might be listening to this there. But it's a double imperative. It's known as a double imperative. And the double imperative means it's the only way. There is no other way. This is the only way. This is the only way that this can happen. So Jesus said, verily, verily, well, this is the only way. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Can you believe that? Can you believe Jesus is, who is definitely the messenger of the Father, but he says he can do nothing of himself except for what the Father sees, sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these are also done the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he shall show him greater works than these, that they may marvel. Wow. Dependency. Jesus was so dependent upon the Father. It was amazing. And Jesus was so dependent upon the Father because he had constant communication with the Father. This is a key for us. If we want to be dependent on the Father, and if we want to hear from God, then we got to have communication with the Father. And the more communication we have with the Father, and I'm not just talking about praying, I'm not talking about just praying, but I'm just talking about just talking with the Lord, just walking with Him, sharing, you know, sharing your heart with Him, stuff like that. The more communication you have with the Father, the more you will be dependent upon the Father. The more communication, the more dependency, the more you too will be able to do the things that Jesus did. Even Jesus said that to us, that we will do even greater things than He did. Well, that will come out of our communication with the Father and our dependency on Him. So many Christians want to be independent. They want to be independent of the body of Christ. They want to be independent of God, independent here and there. No, 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 no. There's a safety in dependency. It's good to be in authority, but it's better to be under authority. And so there's a dependency that we should have in the Lord. Amen. And if there is no communication, how can Jesus know what the Father is doing? Wow, these are very, very powerful verses. Jesus knew what the Father was doing because He was communicating with the Father. Oftentimes, Jesus would steal away from the disciples. He would go off to a mountain or He would go somewhere else so that He could pray and He could spend time with the Father so He could get the message from the Father. If you did not know what the Father is doing, then how can Jesus do the Father's will? Communication is necessary and we need it. Again, the more communication that we have, the more dependency we will have on God. And the more dependency that we have on God, the better messengers we will be. Amen? We must have it, even if it means living in the wilderness. Well, I will tell you, the wilderness is the place that you go to learn that dependency upon the Father. Who is He coming up? Song of Solomon 8:5. Who is He coming up out of the wilderness leaning on His beloved? The wilderness, those tough times, those difficult areas in our life, the things that are confusing, and we just don't understand what is going on. But even into darkness, the Lord will go ahead and reveal to us what is going on as He gets out His light and shows us the way. In those times, we learn and we communicate with Him and we come into a greater dependency with Him. The wilderness is the place of spiritual growth and development in our life. Amen. Communication is necessary, for God needs messengers. He communicates to the angels, a messenger to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He does not communicate directly to the seven churches. God uses messengers. It is the same today. We do not go to church and sit down and wait till God shows up and speaks in person to us. No, we hear His messenger. He used prophets to speak to the nations of Israel. There will be no messenger if there is no communication. Communication is critical. Again, no communication, then there can be no real messengers of God. Oh, there will be people out there that say they're messengers of God, but they won't have the message of God. They'll have other messages, but there won't be the messages that God has for them. Amen. And we need to take heed. It is not the messenger that is speaking often, but God, when He truly has a messenger that hears from Him. And I stuck this in here just as a little caveat, because the children of Israel, all throughout, you know, the wilderness experience, they thought they were talking to Moses. They thought they were railing on Moses. They thought they were giving Moses a hard time. And, oh, are you the only one? You're not the only one that hears from God. We hear from God. But actually, they were not. You know, when they railed on Moses, they did not know that they were railing on God. Because Moses was God's indirect spiritual authority, you know, in their midst. And so we need to really be careful when we go ahead and we speak against one of God's messengers. Because we're not really speaking against God's messengers, we're speaking against God Himself. And God will always show up to protect two things. God will always show up to protect His Word and His messengers. God will always show up to protect His Word, and He'll always show up to protect His messengers. And so we need to be very, very careful when we speak to people in authority, especially in the church or even the police or whatever. that we just need to be careful of and just measure our tongues and take heed there, because God will always show up to protect His Word and His messengers. Amen. Today, God will see messengers and prophets. But they're getting kind of scarce, just like they were in Isaiah's days. Amen? Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Isaiah 6:8. "Whom shall I send?" That's what God is saying. "Who shall I send? And whom will go for me?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." God desperately seeks those who have a hearing ear. God desperately needs those who have a hearing ear. He can put His Word in them. His Word can possess them and give us a desire to meet with God, to hear His communication. God needs people. God needs man. Now, I always find that amazing, that the work of God on earth will only be accomplished as long as man engages with Him. I mean, you know, God could maybe make the trees and the bushes do that, but He loves man. But God's work on the earth is done through the hands of man, through man's voice and through his inspiration and his speaking. God always needs messengers, but I'm telling you that messengers are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. And I'm saying that even messengers that have a heart after God and desires the things of God is getting fewer and fewer and fewer. All you have to do is just turn on Christian TV and one of the Christian channels and all this good stuff, and you can see all these people out there, and they're doing it all for the wrong reasons, and it's all about themselves and money and all of this stuff. They're not messengers of God. No, they're not. They're messengers of themselves. The message of God does not do things like that. They're humble. They're lowly. And they're not after, after things, after money and all that stuff. Amen. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 34:2, and be ready in the morning and come up on the mountain to Mount Sinai. Present thyself to me in the top of the mountain. Wow. All things must be laid aside. If you want to have communication with God, all things must be laid aside. God wants hearts ready to meet with Him and to receive that which He has for them. All things must be laid aside. There must be times in our life when we just lay things aside, no matter what is going on, and we just get time away from God. Unless we can lay aside time for God, He will not lay aside time for us. Amen? We must lay aside time for God. If not, He will not lay the time aside for us. Again, there's appointment that God has with us. And God's call is always, come up. Come up and be where I am. Amen. Some parting thoughts. The meeting and communications are necessary. God works through the human instruments and continues to do so. Therefore, in order to accomplish the will of God, there must be the meeting of the minds of God with the meeting of man. With the mind of man. Wow, now that is a tremendous thought. In order to accomplish the will of God, there must be the meeting of the mind of God with the mind of man. Wow, that is just a very, very, very powerful thought. Amen. God changes not, but man does. And as He works in the past, He will work in the now. God's ways do not change. But before we are able to take on the mind of Christ, as we're instructed in the New Testament, like Paul tells us that we're to, you take on the mind of Christ. But before we can take on the mind of Christ, we must take off the mind of man. It is impossible to be able to think like Christ, as we're instructed to do, when we're thinking like man. There's always a taking off to put on. In Romans, Paul says that we are to take off or throw off the darkness so that we can put on a glorious light. Unless we take off something, spiritual principle, we can never put on something. And so that's the same way in the spiritual realm. For us to be able to put on the mind of Christ, we must take off the world. We must take off all of these worldly distractions and these trappings and all of these things in our mind so that we can put on the mind of Christ. And if not, then we'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to put on the mind of Christ. If we can't put on the mind of Christ, then how will we know what the Father wants? How will we be able to do the Father's will we want? And there will be loss in our lives. Amen. Moses is called to the top of Mount Sinai in order to receive specific instructions from God to the children of Israel, as well as God's foundational directions for mankind. God gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle, the priestly arrangements, and all of these things at this time. So God called Moses up. There was a separation and there was a communication. And any time God does there's a communication, there's always an impartation. There's always an impartation. God just doesn't call us up just to say, hey, how are you doing, Dave? How are you doing, Daryl? How you doing, Karen? What's going on? God always calls us up for a reason. So we can communicate with Him. So He can give us things. But unless we spend time with Him, have communication with Him, we will not be able to receive those things that He has for us. We will not be able to receive the plans and the instructions for our lives, and most importantly, and I would say even more importantly, for others. Usually when God calls us up and He wants to share things with us, it's for us, it is for us, but more importantly, it is also for others. Most of the time God does things in our life, there's others at stake, other lives. And for husbands that are married, well, God speaks to us, and then, you know, and then we're to share with our wives and our children what God has spoken to us. If you're a pastor of a church, God calls you up and separates you for a time and gives you things, gives you guidance, gives you instructions and plans so that you can share that with your church. This is a constant process that God has in our life. But unless we stop and spend some time with God and communicate with Him, we'll never, ever be able to receive the plans and the instructions that He has for our lives. We are not the captain of our own ship. God is the captain of our ship. And He's got plans and He's got instructions for us. And what we need to do is go ahead and stop, take off the world, and spend some time with Him. The last week of the year is a perfect time to do that. And I would encourage everybody that's listening to my voice tonight that go ahead and the last 3 or 4 days of the year of 2015. Soon we're going to be going into 2016. If God hasn't told you what you're supposed to do for 2016, stop. Separate yourself from Him. Communicate with Him. Let Him speak to you so He can give you His plans and instructions for 2016. A lot of Christians just keep on, you know, just like the bull in the china shop, just keep going on and on and on, and they have no desire to hear that God may have changed His plans for them. And of course, when we stop and we spend time with Him, we've got to be able to communicate some things. I know in Beholding His Glory for 2016, there's some changes coming. And I just know that's coming. And so I will be able to get those definite changes when I stop and separate myself and have that communication with the Lord, and so He can give me some plans and instructions for 2016. Amen. The importance of this meeting between God and Moses goes much further. God provided the wherewithal to Israel for the successful conquest of the Promised Land. This meeting with Moses, as I said, with God, it was more about others than it was about Moses. And yes, you know, I'm sure God shared some things with Moses, but God always has a plan, and usually that plan usually deals with more than the person that you're communicating with, but usually it deals with a lot more people, and this was the case with Moses. The means of preparing your hearts was present to Moses, which which he in turn presented to the people. So God wanted to share with Moses the way that he wanted them to share with God. But they did not respond correctly. No, people still didn't respond correctly. So God gave, this is the way that I want the people to respond to me. The first approach to God, they were scared. They did not understand. Oh, no, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand. Moses, you speak to them. Well, now God spoke to Moses, messenger, and shared the way that he wanted to communicate with them, but they did not respond correctly. They were rebellious. They had no faith. You know, I've heard a lot of messages about faith and all of these things, and you know, and I have a number of, not sure a number of messages in different churches on faith, but faith is nothing more than appropriating what God has already provided in His speaking. That's all faith is. It was a verse that I looked at, you know, that we talked about earlier, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing a word from God. But faith is nothing more. You can't build up faith, you know, you can't work up faith, and you know, you can't listen to your favorite Christian song and get faith and all that faith, because faith, according to the Bible, comes by hearing. But faith is nothing more than appropriating, just go ahead and receiving what God has already provided in His speaking. Wow. Now that was worth listening, you know, for tonight. Amen. Amen. At the right relationship to God's development, the desire to walk in the will of God grows. Wow. As the right relationship to God develops, the desire to walk in the will of God grows. So we are in a right relationship with God, and as our relationship with Him develops, then that will also give us a desire to walk in His will. Because I will tell you, walking in God's will at times will be very, very painful, and it'll be very, very difficult. But as we walk in right relationship with God, that will also help us to walk in right relationship with man. But as that right relationship develops with God, then God will give us a desire to walk in His will, even if it's difficult. As obedience increases, faith does likewise, and conquest is certain. As obedience increases, faith does likewise, and conquest is certain. And that is always what God is after in our life. He's always desiring to bring us into victory, overcomers. But that is us. That is the only thing that God knows, is victory and overcoming. But when we don't come into victory, when we fail, when we, you know, we don't overcome, and that's not God's fault. That's our fault, because that's the only thing that God knows in His nature is victory and overcoming. Amen. God has always provided all that we need. And He's already provided all that we need for 2016. How about that? God has already provided in 2015 all that we need for 2016. Our job is to spend time with Him, hear His voice, and receive. Not take or stand on His promises or believe or any of that feelingness. All we have to do is go ahead and receive that which God has already provided in His speaking to us. All in God is for the receiving. In 2016, as we obey and receive that which He has for us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity, Father, Lord God, to share this message on communication, Father, Lord God. Lord, I would ask that I would be a greater communicator with you, Father, Lord, that I would have a greater desire to spend more time with you and hear from you and hear your instructions and your plans, Lord, for me and my wife, and Lord, for the ministry, and oh Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord God, that I just be a better communicator, Father, Lord God, with you. Thank you, Father, Lord God, for all the times that you've spoken to me, and Lord, I just love you and I thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord, help us, Father, Lord God, to just move in the things that you have, Father, Lord, for 2016, Father, Lord. You've already provided all that we need right now, Father, Lord God. And all we have to do is just receive that, Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you for that, Father, Lord, for your many blessings in our life, Father. For it has left this word, Lord. Lord, just take this broken bread and allow people just to pick, Father, Lord God, that's what they need from this speaking, Father. And I just thank you and I praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.